And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
And welcome to episode 29 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me tonight is Lawrence. Lawrence, how you holding up, brother?
Another day in quarantine world.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call this. I don't know.
Yeah, I decided, even though I've been working from home for 5 weeks, I decided, you know, I kind of, and I had a bunch of other PTO I had scheduled. I had to retract those because obviously the reasons why I was going to do it got canceled. So I decided, you know what, I'm just going to take a couple of days off.
Meanwhile, I'm spiraling out of control, finding how to do Saturn emulation on my computer and staying up till 1 a.m. and getting 4 hours of sleep for work because of that. So
what are you trying to play?
Everything.
All right.
Well, okay. Well, right now I've got Guardian Heroes and Panzer Dragoon 2 and
I remember that.
Radiant Silver Gun, but I'm gonna try to.
Are you playing Knights?
I've played Knights a million times. I've had it on like my Xbox, the Xbox remake that they did of it.
I forgot about that.
2 years ago, I have that already, so I don't really like need Knights. I mean, right. So it's looking into getting my girlfriend already ordered me I told her about it, and she was like the best girlfriend ever, so she ordered it Saturn wireless gamepad that Retrobit did in collaboration with Sega, so it's like an official controller.
Damn.
It's like an official Saturn controller, but they it actually plugs in like USB wireless.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Boom Goes the Sega Saturn on here.
Yes.
On the Only Podcast Network.
Yeah, I've hijacked this. I'm sorry.
No worries. So
I'm just very excited, okay?
It's okay. So as we head into episode 29, not live, it's pre-taped. And we get a very self-aggrandizing Cody Rhodes promo live from some control center, and what the hell was this?
You know, it's times like this where I'm just like, Cody thinks he's so cool, it was bad. This was just so cringy. Like, I have no other words for it besides it was just incredibly cringy. It did nothing for me. It didn't really do. I didn't think it set the table to make anything more exciting. Personally, it was just like, yeah, like you said, it's very self-aggrandizing.
If you could read the booking, we do watch this every week, and we could pick up on subtle nuances like the way that they structured this TNT championship so that Well, anyway, we'll get to that, but you could basically the booking of this is obvious. I mean, once they announced the brackets, I knew where this tournament was going, and so far I've been 100% correct on this. But anyway, with that, we go to the Nightmare Factory, as I finally find out that was the name of the place that they're taping. The Nightmare Factory in Georgia. Your commentators once again, Tony Schiavone and Le Champion, Chris Jericho. I am actually really getting into this commentary team.
They really work pretty well together.
They do. It's fun when they do, reference back to, hey, like earlier they said something about Gainesville, Florida. They're like, yeah, you've been to Gainesville. Oh, yeah, we did a lot of Saturday night tapings there. Oh, yes, we did. Mm-hmm. They do that at one point. But anyway, so we get a couple of videotape promos from both Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin, which leads us into our first match of the night, a TNT Championship first-round matchup. Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin, also a rematch from Revolution. I thought that this is a great start. With Sammy ambushing Darby right out the gate.
Yeah, because this is like an actually properly built match.
Yeah, right.
One of the few,
yes. And then a few minutes later, we get an example of how Sammy Guevara isn't as smart as he thinks he is, as he carefully sets up this ladder and then throws Darby Allin into the guardrail that the ladder is set up on. Of course, the guardrail moves and the ladder falls down, so he has to set it up again.
Right.
Didn't think about that. That did look like a kind of a gnarly splash onto the ladder, though, because that ladder didn't bend or anything, so there was absolutely no give to it.
Oh, that was just a brutal freaking spot, man. That looked horrible. It looked like Sammy actually like got his forearm pretty good on that move. He like was holding his forearm for a while after that. I think he might have actually like. I don't know if he like I don't think he broke anything, but like I think he probably like. He probably bruised it pretty bad.
Well, he definitely hurt it because
he wrapped it around the metal pretty bad on that spot. So.
Oh yeah, and then, we finally get in the ring for the match to actually start. You know, Sammy thinks he's gonna just pin Darby. Well, that doesn't happen. And then I saw one of the, and then you know, so we get some back and forth, and we get one of the wildest spots I've ever seen, which was. Sammy hanging upside down in a tree of woe whilst Darby is perched on the top turnbuckle. He takes off one of Sammy's boots and socks and does a reverse ankle lock on him.
That was so sick.
That was awesome.
It's like, you know, it's like these guys are like really like we're putting the image out there. It's like we don't like each other. Like this is legit just like. Two guys that just don't like each other having a really good wrestling match.
Yeah, this is like a blood feud, which ironically, since Darby was bleeding for part of the match. But, yeah, I mean, this came off like a blood feud, and they weren't doing all the... This wasn't like the car crash junior match that we got at Revolution. I mean, this was Darby and Sammy were just wanting to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah,
and hurt each other, you know?
Yeah, it just felt like this is one of the better things they've done in a while on here. It's just that these two have a very good chemistry together as well, I find. They just work. I think they're very good foils for each other.
Oh, yeah. No, this is definitely one of my favorite feuds in AEW right now. Actually, you know, the whole history of the promotion so far. But with that... Darby gets the win, so he's 2-0 in singles against Sammy Guevara in AEW, I think. pins him with a Last Supper. So now it sets up the first semifinal of this TNT championship. Darby Allin versus Cody Rhodes. Gosh, who saw that coming?
Yeah.
You know, considering that, you know, they set up an angle between, you know, Darby and Cody. Gosh, wow, you know.
Yeah.
Who'd have guessed? So after that, we go to a Matt Hardy promo, and oh, Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Gracious.
But then, halfway through the promo, he reverts to, you know, actual Matt Hardy, where he's not, you know, doing this broken bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. What is this?
I don't know, man. I don't think anybody cares about it at this point. It's just like, what is he even doing?
Yeah, I mean, they're not, I mean, this is like going nowhere.
Like he literally has nothing. Like, this, there's like, what is he even,
I mean,
I don't understand it. I know, I'm just confused because yeah.
I mean, it's kind of half not his fault because, of course.
No, I know.
Because, you know, everything blew up the blood and guts match and all that. I get the feeling we were supposed to get to Matt Hardy versus Chris Jericho singles at Double or Nothing, you know, had things done this way. And we still might, because they are still insisting on, you know, running Double or Nothing, as we bitched about last week. But
yeah,
it still might, but I mean, it's just not going to have, you know, the heat to it.
Right.
I mean, is any match going to have the heat to it?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I don't know. But we go to a commercial, and when we come back, we hit Taz on a video promo analyzing the V-Trigger and the Snapdragon Suplex of one Mr. Kenny Omega. Which is, you know, it's okay. You know,
yeah, I mean,
what it is.
I don't know. For me, it's like, what is there to really analyze there, though?
Yeah. Well, the V-Trigger, like, stolen from Shinsuke Nakamura.
I mean, I don't even know if, like, you could just attribute a knee strike to anybody.
Well, that much is true, but I mean, that particular knee strike is, you know. Yeah, I think we, you know, because we were there and covering on Strong Style Story all those. Lo, those many moons ago. But whatever the case, it leads us into our second match of the evening, in which said Kenny Omega takes on Alan Angels. Well, I'm guessing he's one of the Nightmare Factory students.
Yeah, he's pretty solid, I thought. I mean, he was pretty decent in this match.
Yeah, he got a lot more offense than I thought he would, and actually seemed to, you know, he seemed to hang with Kenny Omega a little bit.
Yeah, they really gave him like a lot of offense in this.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of those cases where you think Kenny would be a bit more selfish, but no. Yeah, this guy got a decent spotlight and still lost only to a mere V-Trigger. He didn't have to bust out One Winged Angel for it. But, yeah, I mean, this was all right. It was, you know, Kenny Omega against an enhancement talent, you know.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those on this show. It was a pretty common theme.
Yeah, it kind of was, but I mean, again, it's understandable considering, you know, everything going on.
I mean, I kind of like it a little bit. I mean, it kind of feels like a studio wrestling show now.
Yeah, well, that's because it literally is a studio wrestling show right
no,
now.
No, I know.
But, you know, again, it's fine. You know, it is what it is. I'm not enjoying it, but. You know, say for, you know, the main events, you know, the last few episodes, you know, the first hour is just fine, and then the second hour goes off a cliff. We'll see if it happens this week, too. Following that, we get the first part of a video retrospect on Scorpio Sky, which, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was what it was, I guess. But then we also learn officially of Dustin Rhodes putting his career on the line in tonight's main event against Kip Sabian in the first round of the TNT Championship. Yeah, this was just really something just to add heat to a heatless match, wasn't it?
Yep. Oh boy. Yeah, my girlfriend actually made the point here, and I was like, didn't even like really think about it until she mentioned it. And I was like, wow, yeah, this is really lame. Like, why are they doing this? She was like, yeah, like she's like, it seems kind of stupid to run a retirement angle with like no fans around. And I'm like, yeah, that sure is stupid.
yeah, it's stupid. I mean, you get no heat for it. I mean, there's not going to be much heat for it anyway, because, you know, the only people that are there are, you know, other wrestlers.
That was, like, the lamest, like, try to pop a rating, like.
Again, it was just something just to add heat to a heatless match. But we'll get back to that later. And then right before the commercial break, we get an ad for the 200th episode of Being the Elite, which I guess is just the Young Bucks doing a false count anywhere match at one of their houses. So yeah, okay. So it's on YouTube. I watched like 2 minutes of it. I was like, okay. If you're in any way excited for a Young Bucks versus Young Bucks singles match, this is for you.
Yikes. No thanks.
Yeah. So when we come back, we have a recap of the events of last week that led to this match, which is our third match of the evening, in which Orange Cassidy has his second ever competitive match, singles match in AEW. His first on Dynamite, this time against Jimmy Havoc. I'm just going to point out, one of my first notes on there was when Jimmy Havoc was ripping the denim jacket off of Orange Cassidy, throwing it to the crowd with Penelope Ford stomping on it. Chris Jericho saying that it smelled of Dracar Noir just for some reason made me chuckle.
Oh my God.
I can confirm Orange Cassidy does not smell like Dracar Noir, because I was, you know, up close and personal with him at CWC. it took a while for Orange Cassidy to break out like he did against Pac, but when he did, my God.
Yeah. He let loose here on Havoc. There was kind of like, I just, but the, you know, Jimmy Havoc control period was just lackluster, and I don't know. I was losing my focus during this.
You know, I gotta be honest, I didn't think it was that bad.
My eyes just divert away from anything Jimmy Havoc does, so that might just be...
Yeah, I mean, that is a perfectly natural response. I completely understand. if you're into Jimmy Havoc post, like, 2017, then we have some questions for you, but
I don't understand it. I'll never understand it.
But I mean, it wasn't irritating me. I guess it was the way it was irritating or making you zone out. I thought it was just fine. Again, for a TV match, this was fine. With Havoc, trying to, get the advantage and beating down Orange Havoc. So, of course,
Call him Orange Havoc?
I did, excuse me.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Orange Cassidy, I mean, only for Orange Cassidy to break the fuck out and, show what he showed at Revolution. The one thing I was really disappointed about was the lack of an air raid crash, but I love the pin.
Yeah, that was good.
I forgot what that's actually called, but it's like it's almost like a Gato clutch.
Yeah.
Not quite, but almost. And then, of course, Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford got involved during the match. So, of course, this new unit between Sabian, Ford, and Havoc against the Best Friends, that's going to continue. And as we'll find out later. So then we cut to a commercial break. And honestly, you know what? The match was just fine, I thought. I don't know. What did you think overall?
It was okay.
It was, yeah, it was a TV match.
It was whatever.
It was a fine TV. So then we go to a commercial. When we come back, we get a video promo from NJF discussing an injury. And he's bullshitting about it, because he got a hangnail from,
gambling.
From gambling. Which, I mean, again, we loved the gambling bit when it was going on.
Oh my God.
And I was actually kind of forgot to mention, I was actually kind of happy during that first match when I saw Sean Spears holding a sign saying Sammy owes me money.
when they aired the promo, didn't it come up in the corner? It was like MJF's like rat's house. I'm pretty sure it said MJF's rat's house.
I don't think so.
It just
said something about MJF's house.
I think it said rats. I'm pretty sure it was like.
I don't know. I didn't catch it. I saw it was in Cape Cod.
Yeah,
that was the main thing I took away from.
I'm looking at it, I'm like, wait, did it just say MJF's rat's house? That's just like.
Yeah, I can just imagine though that the actual owner of that house coming home, and it's like that scene in Ed Wood. You know, we don't have permits. Run. You know.
It's like, yeah, so MJF continues to, it said Max's rat's house.
Oh, okay, I completely missed that.
That's...
Hey.
That's nasty.
Hey. What the fuck?
Yes, he's fucking shot. Oh my god.
Oh, come on. Jesus.
Yeah, I said Max's rat's house. You know,
whatever pops a TMZ post, brother.
Oh, God.
But this does lead into something kind of glorious to watch, which was Wardlow versus Lee Johnson.
Oh, this was funny watching Wardlow throw this poor guy around.
This was amazing.
I just enjoy watching Wardlow just fucking like toss people. It's pretty great, honestly.
Yeah, Wardlow. Yeah, he needs to get away from MJF because he should be his own dude, honestly.
Yeah, I like Wardlow a lot. He's pretty cool.
Now I do have a question though. Is that when we did a pan over to you know the heel side of the audience. Was that Zicky Dice I saw in the blue? Because it sure kind of resembled him at a quick glance.
Oh, I have no idea.
Hmm. Okay. I doubt it was, but it kind of... I looked at it and was like, it looks kind of familiar. Although I did notice Chris Harrington was over there, too.
Oh.
Like, why is he over on the heel side? Has he been the bad guy this whole time? Come on, Mookie Ghana. What's up, man? Come on. Give us some answers. Hit me up at Strong Style Story without the E in style. I don't know. You know, I alternately do hope and alternately don't hope. Yeah, let's try that again. I alternately hope and alternately don't hope that that AEW people are listening to this show. That make any sense? I don't know. Maybe. We haven't really gone all in on burying anybody today, so at least not yet.
No.
But yeah.
Don't worry.
Sometimes we go in.
Done yet.
Yeah. Yeah. We still got about 45 minutes of show to cover here.
I am not done yet.
Oh boy. Oh no. With that, we lead into another Dark Order promo with someone who we never see his face. I saw a name during this, Preston Vance. Does that name ring any bells to you?
Preston Vance?
Yeah, I saw the name on the fake news item about Heisman Trophy candidate injured. You know, leading up to the whole Dark Order interview thing. Okay, well, if you don't know, you don't know. So then we get it cuts away to Brody Lee interviewing this guy and giving him a mask. The Vince parody really wasn't so ramped up this time, I noticed.
They might be finally. Oh. Preston Vance is, yeah, that's the guy at ringside there that's been hanging out ringside, at the kind of the blonde haired dude on the right side.
Okay.
And he's like kind of a bigger guy, kind of jacked.
Okay.
He's also known as Cody Vance on the indies. He's actually I believe I've seen him work for NEW a couple times.
Okay.
Yep. I didn't know it because they gave him that different first name. But yeah, now that I see Cody Vance.
Well, we can't have two Codys in AEW.
Yeah, we're all right. Oh, yeah, no. So I think that was definitely a big part of that decision. But yeah, that's him. That he's
Okay. So I guess we may be, he was given a mask, and we may be seeing him soon. So with that in mind, again, the Vince parody was kind of ratcheted down a little bit this time, I noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some phrases that seemed like it was something that would come out of Vince McMahon's mouth, but yeah, it wasn't as over the top as it was in previous weeks.
Yeah.
So maybe they're getting the hint about it. But also, I learned today, just today, that did you know that Brody Lee, under his shoot name, was actually in a movie co-written by a horror novelist I really like.
Really?
Yeah, the movie in question is called Mohawk, and the co-writer in question is Grady Hendrix, who just released a new novel, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? But, so, yeah, it was, so, yeah, and I ironically just happened to finish it last night, his new novel, The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires. Pretty good book. So,
that was a lot of words that you just said there, Jeff. a lot of words that didn't have a lot of correlation to each other, but
what,
that was
the Southern. Oh no, it makes sense if you read the book. So.
Okay.
So yeah, the Southern.
I'll take your word for it.
The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires. You may actually like his previous novel. It was a book about it was a horror novel about heavy metal called We Sold Our Souls.
Oh jeez.
It was really good. Because it was actually, you know, it was actually not about metal. It was actually about poverty. So.
Oh.
Anyway. Grady Hendrix, look him up. Anyway, this leads us into our fifth match of the evening, Brody Lee against Justin Law, who had a
pretty okay
debut last week. But, yeah, he didn't get so lucky this week.
Oh, my God. This is wonderful. See, this is just what I want to see Brody Lee do. This is what I want to see. I don't need the fucking suit, all of that gimmick. I don't need all that crap. I just want to see Brody Lee just fucking annihilate guys like this. Right. This is exactly what I've been looking for. This was perfect. This was absolutely perfect. Law got absolutely manhandled by him.
He did. He really did. And there's not much else really to...
It was fucking amazing. Yeah, when he hit that lariat on him, I thought he killed the poor kid.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, yeah, this was such a squash. The only real note I put down was Jericho mentioning the AEW Galaxy, which kind of cracked me up a little.
That
bit.
Was hilarious. Oh my God.
So yeah, please, Tony and Jericho as the commentators going forward. This has been amazing.
Man.
This has been amazing. Of course, in the post match, they tease something between Brody Lee and poor Marco Stunt. I think Marco Stunt's going to be murdered next week.
Oh man, Marco's getting fed to the freaking giants.
He really is. Which I mean, it can only help him.
Yeah, right. No, it is.
Because, again, eventually we're going to get our little Spike Dudley moment with him, you know.
Yeah.
So then we go to commercial, we come back, we get an interview with the best friends, and you know what? Chuck Taylor just needs to be the mouthpiece of this group.
Yeah.
His part was the best. I mean, you already have two kind of laid back guys, you know, in Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy. So yeah, you need Chuck Taylor to be like the hyper mouthpiece, you know.
Mm.
So in any event, they tease a challenge for against Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc against Chuck and against Dustin and Greg. I think that's happening next week because I think they mentioned it at the very end of the program. But and then we go to our second episode of The Bubbly Bunch, complete with a fake TikTok video. Like, what the fuck was this?
I really just enjoy this stupidity here.
It was pretty stupid. I mean, there's no way around that. It was pretty stupid, but you know what?
I liked the stupid. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah,
I thought.
I noticed they had to put the disclaimer down at the bottom of the screen. Not actually affiliated with TikTok.
Amazing.
Oh boy.
Even TikTok was too embarrassed. you know how embarrassing you have to be? To be too embarrassing for TikTok to associate with you?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. That's
pretty goddamn embarrassing, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm too old for TikTok, I'm afraid. I mean, I bring back Vine. I like Vine.
Christ, I think I'm too old for TikTok. I'm 26.
Yeah, yeah. Say, this is your generation's product.
I don't even know. I don't claim it. I don't claim it at all. It's the guys that are like, it's the people that are like 5 years younger than me doing this. It's oh boy, I don't know. Yeah, Vine was a lot more enjoyable. At least you only got six seconds of stupid if it was like stupid.
Yeah. Right. Or you got 6 seconds of brilliance either way, you know?
Yeah, right, right. So, you know, at least it was like either way, you're in and out. Now it's just like, oh, Christ, like this dance. What other stupid dance move could you come up with this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, the Inner Circle came up with quite a few of them, it looked like.
Oh, I finally told my crush that I love him. That's great. I don't care.
Jesus. But, I mean, well, what else is social media for if not to, you know, be dumb on it?
Narcissistically. Yeah.
Or destabilize Western democracy. One of the two. I don't know.
Oh, whoa. Jesus, you took a jump there. Jesus Christ, Jeff.
Yeah, you have done podcasts with me in the past, right?
What a... Oh, you just jumped the Grand Canyon there.
With that, we go to our main event of the evening. The final first round matchup of the TNT Championship. Dustin Rhodes putting his career on the line against Kip Sabian.
I'm sorry. Like Sagal said, this is rings so much hollow when you're pulling this in a first round TV tournament title tournament match with no fans around. I mean, how ridiculous does that sound?
And your build was some YouTube video a couple days beforehand.
I am just so puzzled by this. I mean, this was just like throwing things at a wall and hoping that's like you pop a rating. It's oh god, dude.
Yeah.
And then then you got this nerd Kip Sabian. Not to sound like 2011 Michael Cole, but he is a nerd. I'm sorry, but this dude sucks. Kip is just the worst. I will continue to shit on him every episode if I have a possible.
Not wait a minute. You already said Jimmy Havoc's the worst. You can't. Two people cannot be the worst.
Oh man, I know, but they're both the worst, and they're somehow in a stable together. How amazing is that? It's just like they just know what I like, and it's like, hey, you know what? Let's put them together just to spite Lawrence and just like, and just make him feel any much more pain. And
yes, they're all doing it against you specifically. Way to be a wrestling fan on the internet, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm very much so. It's me. It's the world revolves around me. Kip Sabian's a very bad, very bad wrestler.
I don't mind him. I think he's okay.
I he's awful. I think he is one of the worst. And somebody I actually retweeted it. I think he is one of the worst TV contracted wrestlers in our generation.
Wow. Okay.
He is lifeless. He is boring. He is a void of charisma. He is all that is wrong with pro wrestling.
Wow. See, I don't see it myself, but you know, again, wrestling is very subjective. So, you know, it's, I, you I, know, it's every, fine. I'm every not gonna,
match, Yeah, every match that he's a part of, I actively tune out of. He will bring down even the best of talents, and that includes Dustin Rhodes.
Damn.
I he is irredeemably bad.
Well, let's
I think he is, I think he might actually be worse than Jimmy Havoc.
Okay, well,
Jimmy Havoc's at least like cringy to the point where you can laugh at him, where Kip Sabian is just bad, bad.
I mean, you know, I thought, I mean, I still think his best moment on AEW TV was getting jacked in the jaw by Colt Cabana. I mean, don't get me
Oh,
wrong,
yeah, that was.
but I don't mind him. I mean, he doesn't actively piss me off or anything.
Oh, I just, he's awful.
I mean,
This is bad.
there are other wrestlers that actively piss me off on the roster, you know.
Yeah, oh, I don't even say he's actively pisses me off, but he's just terrible at what he does.
Yeah.
There's
I mean,
a difference. I mean, you could be the nicest guy in the world, but I mean, I can still think he's just horrible at like his profession.
yeah, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just like I said, I'm just saying he's never really struck me as, I mean, he's not struck me as, you know, a superstar, but he hasn't struck me as being awful. He just is just kind of there. You know?
Yeah,
And
I don't know.
again, this whole phony retirement angle, yeah, it was to pop a match that really had no heat to it. I mean, let's face it, Sammy versus Darby probably should have been the main event in a just world, because that ended up being a fantastic match. But, you know, again, I'm not a you know, I'm not an executive vice president of a wrestling company, so.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. No, I definitely think that probably should have been the move there. I mean, they should have just, what they should have done is they should have had that as an opener, not had this stupid retirement thing attached to it, and then.
Yeah, I mean that way you at least you know that way you could have Jericho building up Sammy the whole night too, you know.
Right. Yeah, right. That's,
I don't know. We discussed it before. There's some wacky world dynamics going on. Like, you know, a thing that occurred to me today, how come it's usually the baby faces that always seem to have their friends come to the ring with them instead of the heels?
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, again, we discussed it before. The heel face dynamics in AEW are kind of wacky world in a lot of ways,
Yeah.
and it's like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, is this the product of people who grew up whose education in wrestling was the Attitude Era? I don't know.
Yeah.
You think Cody Rhodes might know better?
Yeah.
But, you know, then again, there's Cody Rhodes right here, and we all know how that goes. And we're not even talking about when he, you know, retweets, tweet, you know, people who are, you know, complete garbage. But
Yeah.
I won't get into that. There's no point, really. So with that is so now we have, and then here's the other thing about this match and adding this retirement step. There was no fucking drama to it because we all knew Dustin Rhodes was gonna advance because he's gonna go up against Lance Archer to further the Archer wants Cody Rhodes angle. So ha ha, I'm gonna destroy your brother first, motherfucker. You know.
Yeah.
There was no drama to it. That's the thing, yeah, that's been the thing about this tournament is that there's been no drama to it at all. Like you could see who was going to advance immediately because, you know, because you could see who has the storylines with Cody Rhodes going on, namely Lance Archer and Darby Allin.
Yeah, I know. It's clearly going in that direction, I
I mean,
think.
yeah,
It's,
like, yeah, the second they set those brackets up, I was like, yeah, this is, yeah, I know where this is going, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there is no drama to this at all.
It's they're running a lot out of stuff to do right now, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, that much is obvious by the amount of video promos we're getting, too.
Yeah, it's they're stretched very, very thin right now.
Yeah, which I mean, understandable, not their fault, but I mean, yeah, maybe they need to start considering, maybe reconsidering this whole Double or Nothing thing, and maybe, you know, doing a season finale or something.
Yeah,
because like, yeah, they're about to hit a wall hard. I mean, they maybe already have. It's just, you know, we keep getting, you know.
I apologize.
Oh, hello. Sorry. Was that the Googles making an appearance?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does it to me too. Where was it? I mean, they're going to hit a wall soon, and if they haven't already, and they're just papering over the cracks by the fact that, you know, hey, we're actually still getting some pretty, you know, fun matches out of this, despite everything.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah. So, with that ends episode 29 of AEW Dynamite. Lawrence, pros and cons.
I thought I liked that there were some squash matches that were like, you know, trying to further guys like Brody Lee and Wardlow and just kind of make them look really good. I thought those were really good part of it. Not enough of those sometimes in wrestling these days. Let's see. Oh yeah, Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin was awesome. That was a really, really very good match, and that had a lot of, you know, build behind it and had some steam to it. And that's, you know, all you can really ask for in wrestling sometimes is just that. It's as simple as that. And, you know, they had that with this and was very, very good. Very enjoyable television match. And you know, I don't think this is over between them either, because Sammy still has not been able to get one on Darby yet. So,
yeah, which again, that's, you know, the whole heel face dynamic. If by logic, Sammy should be getting over on Darby, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting the way they've the way they've done this with those two. It's, you know, Sammy's the one looking for retribution almost now.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Again, it's the wacky world heel face dynamics. Any cons? The list.
Kip Sabian. Jimmy Havoc.
You want to just throw in Penelope Ford too, just to get the whole unit in, or?
Oh no, Penelope's cool.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Penelope's pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie, she's pretty awesome. The retirement angle bullshit's awful. Just throw it in the bin. I mean, that was just cheap, like carny ass shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree. I think as far as cons, the match placement. I again, if Kip Sabian versus Dustin Rhodes was the opening match, and Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin was the main, you know, the match actually had build and a feud to it, and looked like there were consequences to what was going on and all this, and instead of trying to manufacture something out of nothing, then yeah, I think they could have done that. I will say that at least the main event this week wasn't horrible, like, you know, the last four episodes of Dynamite, where the main event segment was just god awful. This one was tolerable. It was just kind of eh, and there was no drama to it, but it wasn't, again, actively bad, in my opinion. Orange Cassidy is phenomenal, and yeah, you know, love everything. You know, he is such a joy to watch, no matter what he does. And it makes the show worthwhile, you know, whenever he's on it. So, and that's, you know, that's all I got to say about that. So yeah, that's pretty much all I got. So yeah, that was episode 29. We're about to hit episode 30 next week. 30 episodes of TV so far in the can.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my God. It doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't really, does it? Well, the other week it was we saw it was episode 26. I'm like, my God, we've been doing this for half a year. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. Ain't it funny how time slips away sometimes? So.
Yes.
So, Lawrence, plug yourself.
Find me at LOB_3. I don't have anything really new right now down the pipe. I've been kind of taking a little break from the other show, you know, Puro and the Rough. It's been kind of letting that rest for a little bit. Just personally need to kind of recharge my wrestling batteries a little bit, I think, in other regards. It's hard. It's very hard for me to watch a lot of this, the Japanese stuff right now with nobody there. It's almost depressing to me. It's hard. It's
I mean,
very,
you can say the same
difficult.
Thing for what we're watching right now, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, at least with, I don't know, with AEW, I guess it's nice that they have some people at ringside. I mean, I don't know if they should, but they do, and I think it makes it a little more of an enjoyable watch. But I don't know.
It
adds
a little bit of activity to it, you know, some sort of action.
Right. So I don't know. You know, that show's on a little bit on hold for the minute, but we'll get back to doing an episode. I'm sure at some point soon. It's just right now. It's been a little difficult with everything that's going on. So
yeah.
But yeah, I don't have a whole lot of anything crazy to tell you. NFL draft's tomorrow. I haven't been doing my like sports podcast in a long ass times, but
that did kind of drop off, didn't it?
I kind of things kind of happened. I mean, this past year where I didn't really have time to. I got so behind on it that I just couldn't really start it up again if I wanted to. It was just. During football season, when I was working with the kids, it was I couldn't have no time to really
right.
watch film and analyze stuff. I've been doing it, you know, I've been catching up now, you know, before the draft, but I can't like go and just like make detailed scouting reports like I did last year and stuff. I'm not there yet. I can't do it. I could maybe do it on a few guys, but not like. The amount of guys I had last year pretty thoroughly analyzed, but I'm excited nonetheless.
How are they actually going to do the draft? I mean,
it's virtually done.
I say there's no way in hell that they're doing this in Radio City Music Hall.
No. They haven't been doing it in Radio City Music Hall for a while, Jeff.
Oh, is that right?
They've been going around. They're touring it around now, like WrestleMania.
Oh, I did not realize that. So
yeah. I think they just had it in Chicago recently.
Did they?
Yeah, I'm like 90.
Well, I don't know. I dropped off of the NFL a few years ago.
Yeah, I forgot what year it was. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the last few years they had it over in Chicago. They're doing it like virtually now over the Zoom or whatever. I don't know what the hell. And like with all the GMs and everything on the call. And I guess like if the GM were to disconnect, they have like a few fail safes in place to make the pick. And I guess they had some like glitches the other day. I guess they ran a mock draft like with like the test everything, and they ran into a couple problems. But I think I'm sure they probably have it ironed out by now, hopefully, but we'll find out tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I want to watch a web, a conference call on TV, you know?
Oh, I think it's going to be hilarious. It's going to be a lot loads of fun because somebody I think is going to screw up somewhere and it's going to be really funny.
Yeah, you might be right. Keep you posted on that. Me, you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in Style on Twitter, or my personal Twitter at GD Wessel, 2 S's 1 L. Chris of this parish and myself, we dropped the second Strong Style History NJPW World recap of the older matches that they're putting up on the service. We did that last Sunday, so check that out. And Lawrence, I really hope you're able to join me for the next one, because
I'm trying my best. I gotta try to just slot out some time for me to just like watch these.
Yeah, because there's at least one match that has your name written all over it.
Oh yes, absolutely.
So anyway, check that out, and check out all the other fine shows on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network, including Days of Thunder, who are about to drop a Pick Your Poison on Ric Flair. With a special guest. So check that out, and they have one of the consistently best shows on the feed. Also, WorldCast just dropped earlier this week a 2-hour spectacular on Christmas Star Wars 1983.
Oh no.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, definitely worth a listen to for that one. And
I'm still not convinced that was like some weird fever dream that never actually happened.
I'm curious to know what was the thing that made you curious about that.
What made me curious about it?
Well, what you're saying was the fever dream aspect of Christmas Star Wars 1983.
Just everything about it. none of that made sense.
No, I'm like, talking about the World Class show.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Christmas Star Wars special.
Oh no, they play the beginning of that at the beginning of the episode.
Oh.
But no, we're talking about at Reunion Arena. Yeah, the World Class card.
Oh god. Okay. Wow.
With what was it? Yeah. Kevin and Mike Von Erich versus Gordy and Roberts.
Oh hell yeah! That's okay.
What the hell were you talking about?
I was talking about the Star Wars Christmas special. Like, I thought you were talking about that. I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, why would anybody want to do a podcast on that?
Well, I'm sure there's already been 50 million of those. Anyway, we're rambling at this point. Anyway, check out the feed. Anyway, so you'll either hear us later this week on on Strong Style History if we get around to that, or we'll be here next Wednesday. So any final words, Lawrence?
No.
Okay.
That's my final word.
All right. We'll see you then.